westbound on the McDonald Bridge. 18 minutes after 5 here on Main Street. Yesterday, in part one of Seeing the Forest for the Trees, Steve Sutherland focused on Nova Scotia's silviculture funding program. He found that in any given year, more than 97% of land harvested in the province is clear-cut, and only a small fraction of privately owned land is treated to enhance and conserve the natural forest. People like Peter Cristiano of Finewood Flooring in Middle River say those numbers are out of whack.
First of all, in this province, we have to examine who are we growing these forests for. I mean, we've come in and we've plopped down a big industry and said to the forest, now you have to conform to fill the needs of that industry. And as we can see today, those industries are vulnerable. We put all our eggs in one or two baskets.
The Ecology Action Center in Halifax has produced a report which is critical of Nova Scotia's silviculture funding program. It suggests the province encourages clear-cutting at the expense of more ecologically responsible practices and calls for an overhaul of the entire system. Reporter Steve Sutherland has been looking into the story, and he is in our Sydney studio with more. Hi, Steve.
Hi there, Carmen.
So what is the impact of all this clear-cutting? Clear-cutting, has the word has negative connotations, but remind us why people should care.
Well, I guess the issue that the universal issue that ties it all together, so to speak, for the Ecology Action Center is that for every cubic meter of land you clear cut, you're basically moving further and further away from the native Acadian forest type of the Maritime provinces, and you're moving further and further towards even-age softwood plantations. Joanne Cook of the Ecology Action Center says, in her opinion, this favors big industry at the expense of smaller value-added businesses like Peter Cristiano's Flooring Company.
We used to have a beautiful forest in this province. It had sugar maples, it had beech, it had birch, it had hemlocks, it had white pines. And to take that rich, diverse forest that could also support a diverse forest economy and convert it to spruce and fir stands that can only support softwood lumber and pulp and paper, that just seems wrong.
Now, Carmen Cook also points out that there are also, of course, environmental consequences of clear cutting. You know, when you change a forest type, say from the Acadian forest to a softwood monoculture, you're essentially interfering with the habitat of the animals who evolved over, you know, thousands upon thousands of years to live in that forest habitat. You also influence things like, you know, water quality, sedimentation, fish habitat, that sort of thing.
Mm. Now, as we heard yesterday, the vast majority of harvested land in the province is clear cut. How does the Ecology Action Center think the province's policies are contributing to that?
Well, their biggest beef is what they refer to as a lack of support for uneven-aged forest management on private land. Now, as we heard yesterday, uneven-aged management is less invasive than clear-cutting. It uses selective harvests on woodlots that have a variety of trees of various ages and sizes and species, and uneven-aged management is generally considered more forgiving to the environment. The problem is, it's also more labor-intensive, and it yields far less money in the short term. Now, of the province's seven categories for silviculture funding, only one is for uneven-aged management, and it turns out that very few people even bother to apply for it. But according to Joanne Cook, that's because the technical standards for that category are way too strict.
And do you have some examples of that?
Well, for instance, take an uneven-aged management technique called crop tree release. That basically allows you to get rid of low-value trees that are competing with the species that you really want, say like red spruce or sugar maple or yellow birch. Now, in order to qualify for funding, the province says you have to have at least 125 of these high-value trees per hectare. But as we heard yesterday, because of past harvesting practices, many woodlots in Nova Scotia are so degraded and they're already in such bad shape that many people don't have that many high-value trees left in that density. So the Ecology Action Center wants that minimum number of trees reduced, and they say that's going to encourage people who have these borderline woodlots to go the way of conservation rather than the way of clear-cutting.
And do you have any other examples of a technical standard that the Ecology Action Center would like changed?
Well, you can take tree planting, for instance. Right now, if you plant trees under existing forest canopy, you don't qualify for funding under the even-aged management categories. But according to forest technician Will Martin, that effectively eliminates many Acadian forest species which need the shade to grow.
If we are to truly make forest sustainability regulations,
they have to be much better suited to the true growing conditions of the Acadian forest. You can't basically enforce this mathematical model of what your computer tells you is the best way to grow trees onto that forest and still have it be healthy.
Now, Carmen, Will Martin says, in his opinion, the only way you're going to get people to actually make use of this uneven-aged funding is if you relax the technical standards and you make it more accessible to your average woodlot owner.
So, Steve, let's say a woodlot owner does apply under this program. What kind of money can he or she get for these treatments?
Well, that's another concern that's outlined by the Ecology Action Center's report. See, uneven-aged management requires specialized skills and specialized machinery, and it's, as I mentioned, very labor-intensive. But under the province's credit system, it'll curiously actually earn you less money than many of the clear-cut style treatments. For example, Will Martin did a cost comparison on one small woodlot where he was working, and he found out that if he decided to clear-cut it and establish a softwood plantation, he'd qualify for almost twice as much money than if he'd done a selection harvest over the same period of time. Minga O'Brien of the Ecology Action Center says, in her opinion, that amounts to an incentive to clear-cut. And for proof, she says, all you have to do is look at the fact that 97.5% of all the silviculture work done on private lands in this program goes towards even-aged management.
There's no way we can even say that the scales are tipped towards uneven-aged management. They are highly, highly tipped in the opposite direction. And what we're asking for is simply trying to balance the scales. They are very, very tipped right now.
Now, Carmen, the Ecology Action Center is asking for three things. They want the technical requirements for uneven-aged management relaxed to make them more accessible. They want the value for uneven-aged treatments increased. And here's the big doozy that would make a bureaucrat shake in his or her boots. They want a minimum of 25% of all silviculture work on private lands to be uneven-aged treatments, and they want to include all the money provided by the provincial government for that program, which is about $3 million.
Wow. And so how does the province respond to all this?
Well, first of all, Director of Forestry York Baylor wants to make it clear that he actually agrees with the Ecology Action Center on some points.
We are not doing enough uneven-aged management in Nova Scotia today, and we have to do things to encourage that practice. But we don't believe that setting a minimum target at this time would work, and we would rather use the approach of increasing the incentives to make that happen, but not with setting a so-called line in the sand at this time.
Now, Baylor says after reading the Ecology Action Center's report, the department has already increased the amount of credits offered for selection cutting by 50% from $300 a hectare up to $450. They're also planning a list of changes to the technical standards to make them more relaxed. For instance, you will now be able to plant under shade if this goes through. But Baylor says the changes have yet to be approved by Cabinet, so he's not going to tell me what they are.
And what about the doozy, though? What about the recommendation that 25% of all funding go to uneven-aged treatments?
Well, as you might have gathered from his comments there, Carmen, that's not going to happen. And he gives several reasons for that. He says, first of all, it's not as easy as waving a magic wand and increasing the capacity for intensive uneven-aged management by a factor of 10, which is essentially what the Ecology Action Center is calling for. As we heard in yesterday's story from one of the province's biggest contractors, Scott and Stewart in Antigonish, most operations are set up to support industrial forestry. You know, we're talking about a workforce who's trained and experienced in softwood monocultures and harvesting machines that are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars that have to keep operating to earn their keep. Also, uneven-aged management takes a whole other infrastructure, different machines, a whole other set of skills, and there just aren't that many contractors in the province who have those skills right now.
And what about the money for the program? Who pays for the work?
Well, that's another point. The vast majority of silviculture funding comes from the industry itself. About $13 million of the $16 million worth of work done every year comes from the industry. The other $3 million comes from the provincial government. And Baylor points out that they should have a say in what work is done, and three-quarters of the land in Nova Scotia is in private hands.
It's the private sector that owns the land, conducts the work, creates the demand. We as in government, in that sense, are not the main driver here. We can only do so much to encourage how the private lands are managed. And we are trying to do that through the regulations, through the code, through developing technical standards. That's our role. how the industry functions in connection between the demand side and the supply side, that's a business question. It's not so much a government question.
But of course, Carmen, there are those, and the Ecology Action Center people would be some of them, who would argue that it is indeed a government question, especially when you consider that $3 million in funding for small private woodlots comes directly out of Nova Scotia taxpayers' pockets. Now, when I asked York Baylor about that, he told me Nova Scotia's forest strategy is up for review this year, and he says if Nova Scotians really are unhappy with how this silviculture money is being spent, it's up to them to come out and say so.
Steve, thanks for educating us on this.
No problem. Thanks for listening.
The CBC's Steve Sutherland was in our Sydney studio.